I want you to picture a man planting a tree. Not this man, because he's never planted one. Hopes to someday, but hasn't yet. But picture a man planting a tree. And what kind of tree is it? Well, you'd like to know. So you wander over to ask him. And that's when you see that his hands are dirty. His knees are dirty. He's wearing work clothes and working up a sweat. And just below the blue collar, you see a patch that spells out his name. Paul. I don't know if the Apostle Paul ever planted a tree, but he did plant plenty of churches. Like a man planting a tree, Paul in this passage is on his knees praying for a church, one that he planted, the church in Ephesus. And so let's find out what we can learn from Paul's prayer. First point here comes from verses 14 through 15. The local church is a branch of God's global church. I'll read those verses. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. The local church is a branch of God's global church. Every church is different, right? You could go to the next church down and they would do things different today than we're doing here. Every church is different. Paul, as he ministered to churches, he noticed that there were more Jews in some, more Gentiles in others. It seems that the church in Ephesus had more Gentiles than Jews. But whatever the case, in the first century or the 21st century today, every church is different. We all have different traditions, perhaps different confessions of faith, statements of faith. We're all filled with different personalities, am I right? Any two people here the same? No. Different problems as well. Every church has problems. Again, you could go to the next church down the road, you'd find the same thing eventually. Problems. However, every true church is the same. It's the same in this respect. We all have one family. We're all one family with one Father. And that's why, as Paul prays, he kneels before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I remember watching the Winter Olympics and all these Koreans would come out and so many of them named Kim. Here's speed skater Kim and another speed skater named Kim. Why are they all named Kim? That's because in the Orient, the family name comes first. And so it's the same thing in the church here. Your individual identity, it matters. And it will always matter. For all eternity, you will be you. But your family identity matters more. And that's why Paul prays, for this reason, we see in verse 14. For what reason? Well, it's everything that he'd been building up in chapters 1 and 2 about the body of Christ, the church. He's praying for this reason, because the church is one body, brought together by the body of Christ. At the close of this service, we're going to take part in the Lord's Supper and communion. And we call it communion because of our common union in Christ. We are one body brought together by the body of Christ. What he has done for us in that body, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. That body that he still has up in heaven and will return with. That glorified body of Christ. We are one body brought together by the body of Christ. And as we look at verses 14 and 15 and begin to just step into this passage and dip our toes into it, we realize how big all of this is. Paul is praying before the Father. You can't get any bigger than God the Father. From whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Our Heavenly Father's family is so big that the earth can't contain it. The church is up in heaven as well. There's saints up there too, and angels praising the Lord. That's big, really big. But remember this, only God can make a church grow. So, second point here in verses 16 through 17, I'll read them. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Only God can make a church grow. Trees need lots of water, especially young trees. You see, water works in the tree like blood does in our bodies. That's water that delivers those nutrients from the soil up into the tree. and helps it grow strong. In the same way, we see here the Spirit is mentioned here. That God may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. The Spirit works in the Christian to strengthen us in Christ Jesus. The Spirit delivers God's blessings to us. And all of those blessings are mediated in Christ. A Christian can't grow apart from Christ. And it's not always easy for you to see your own growth or for others to see it, but you know you're growing if you are in Christ. Just like that tree is growing, it's being strengthened in its inner being as you water that young tree. And as those nutrients go from that water and that soil up into the tree, it is being strengthened from the inside out. And that's what Christ does for us. And the strength that He gives us on the inside, that spiritual strength, it shows on the outside in the way we live holy lives for Him. A Christian can't grow apart from Christ. Jesus, similar to our tree analogy today, spoke about the vine in John 15. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit. But we can grow and we can bear much fruit if we're in Him. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That He may dwell there. There's nothing more satisfying or enduring than Christ dwelling in your heart. So don't pitch Him a tent. Build Him a house right there. Don't invite Him to visit. Invite Him to stay. It's important, satisfying, and so enduring that Christ dwells in your heart through faith. And of course, as Paul has taught in Romans, the entire Christian life is an act of faith from the first to the last. There's a saying that goes like this, you may bend the sapling, but not the tree. And so we know that young trees need outside support. You see a tree that's just been planted, and you'll probably see a stake on either side, and then ropes attached to those stakes, holding the tree in place so that it grows up tall and strong. Those young trees need outside support, or else during a storm, they'll be uprooted by the wind. During a drought, they'll be desperate for a drink if they don't stand up strong and put down roots. But if you give that sapling enough support, you know that in time, it'll grow thick enough to stand on its own. And that's what Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. That's what he's praying for our church at Villanova. That's what we ought to be praying, is that we as a whole, as a church, will be strong. Will be stronger and stronger and more mature, and that each of us as individual Christians will become more and more mature, so that we can say, not with a type of self-confidence or arrogance, but with full confidence in Christ, we can say what Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's a statement of Christian maturity. I've been on this road with Jesus for a while. We should be able to say that as Christians and as a church. This is a place where you can come and mature with a mature and maturing group of believers. But also know this, that a tree never outgrows its need for nutrients. Same way, we never outgrow our need for what we see in verse 16, the glorious riches of God, which are brought to us through the Spirit and through faith in Christ. A tree never outgrows its need for nutrients, most of which come from the soil, which leads to point number 3. A church can only grow in the soil of God's love. Pick it up here, second half of verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. A church can only grow in the soil of God's love. I admitted to you already, never planted a tree, at least not yet, but I do have Google. So, here's what they tell me. You should dig a hole, but not too deep. Add some nutrients, but not too many. Why? Because you got to give that tree a reason to put down roots, a reason to reach down into the soil to find what it needs. And I believe that's why we have spiritual disciplines like prayer. And they're disciplines, aren't they? They're hard. They're sometimes a daily slog, a daily determination. No, I'm not going to do this thing. I'm going to do that thing with the Lord instead. Because He is determined that through things like prayer and Bible study and worship and godly company with other believers and serving others, that's how I'm going to grow. And sometimes when you're tired in your Christian walk, you might just pray a prayer like this. Dear God, could you make it easier for me to mature as a Christian? And you know what? I suppose He could. But I think He makes it hard, so we'll rely on Him and His family. You see, the more we rely on Him and His family, the more we learn to love Him and His family. We have been saved by love and for love. By the love of God, so that we, for all eternity, will love Him back and love others as we've been loved. And Paul begins to invite us in this prayer, invites us to try to grasp how big God's love is for us. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's sort of a paradox, isn't it? To know something that surpasses knowledge. And so when we approach the scriptures, we approach the Christian life, we understand that what's in the Bible, it is reasonable. These are things that we can reason out and think about. We also know that it goes beyond reason. This is a love that we also have to experience. It's a love you have to experience. And I want you to know this. You already know it. You read it in the scriptures. You know it. That God is present where love is practiced. God is present where love is practiced. Where instead of it just being a theoretical knowledge of God's love, we also have a practical knowledge of His love. Where we do the things that draw us into a closer fellowship with Him and with one another. God is present where love is practiced. Here is Paul practicing love for the church of God by praying for them. We have to do the same. It's also a love that you can't fully comprehend. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. It's a love that tries to get in there and figure out how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, knowing that this is a God who is infinite. The universe can't contain Him. Everything contained in the scriptures is His word, and everything here between these two covers, well, that's everything He said that we need to know about Him, at least for now. But there's even more to know about God than's in this book. We're going to be experiencing Him forever. That's how big He is. And Paul, in his prayer, he's trying to grasp this himself, and he's trying to invite us into this love that you can't fully comprehend. And it reminds me of those trees I see, those solitary trees. Now, I love those wood lots. When I drive through the country roads here, I see the field, and then I see that bush lot in the back, and I go, wow, that's pretty cool. I'd like to explore that. And then I think about how many more trees were here before we cut so many down to make these fields. But I also think about, you drive past this field and you see this one tree, right? It's just in the middle of this field and there's all these other crops around it. But for some reason, the farmer said, now that tree stays. I don't know why, but there it is. But I really admire that tree. And to me, those kind of trees are an example of what we're looking at here. There's a tree out in the open, full sunlight, full sky, everything available to it. It's trying to reach out and stretch out and just to comprehend the vastness of what's around it. And that's like us. That's like our church. Like that solitary tree that has so much room to expand. Just try to know this love of Christ. How wide and long and high and deep it is. Because it's also a love beyond compare. There's so many illustrations and analogies we can use for the love of God. I could have chosen a different picture to use today. I chose planting a tree. But look at this one. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I could have spoken about a cup filled to the brim and overflowing. There's all sorts of different ways that we can talk about the love of God. But that's the point. You just can't comprehend the vastness of this God and His love. It's huge. Not one analogy, not one illustration, not one picture is going to do it. But as we progress here in this sermon and get to the fourth and final point, I think we're zeroing in on what Paul's prayer is for us and what our prayer ought to be for our church. Our prayer is this, that we would be grounded and growing in the great big love of God. And so finally, point number four, if you want the church to grow, then you've got to get on your knees. Here's Paul down on his knees, humbling himself to the lowest point and yet reaching with his prayers to the highest heaven. If you want the church to grow, you've got to get on your knees. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That is Paul's prayer. That's the grand finale. Those two verses not only wrap up this prayer, but wrap up this first half of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. When and if I plant a tree, I imagine that I will get down on my knees at some point. And then I'll stand up and I will water and water and water. But there's a difference between planting a tree and planting a church. A church can never outgrow its need for prayer, can never outgrow the need to get on its knees. Because when we pray, two things happen. Number one, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves. And that tree that's growing is humbly putting down roots. You can't see the roots, but you can see the results that those roots bring. We get together on a Sunday morning. We gather to do many things. One of those things is prayer. But just take the few minutes that we pray together here and multiply it by how many of us are praying during the week, right? And what's happening when we're doing that is every one of our little roots is reaching down deeper. And that's what we're going to need for this church to grow in quality and in quantity. We can't rely on just a few roots. All the roots have to reach down deep. All of us have to humble ourselves, putting down roots in the great big love of God. And second, when we pray, we exalt the Lord. You can't see the roots, but you can see the results, right? And what are the results of a tree putting down roots? Branches that reach up high to the heavens. Those are the results. Worship that begins to comprehend and praise God more and more for His bigness, if that's a word. His vastness, I know that's a word. We exalt the Lord. And look at Paul, what he's doing here, setting the bar higher and higher. If you thought trees in Norfolk County were tall, I'm told there are trees over on the West Coast that reach up, you know, 1,000 feet. And if you thought that some trees here, you know, some big oaks and big maples, you couldn't get your hands around, there's trees out there big enough to drive a car through. If you cut a hole through it, right? You could never get your hands around them. But that's an illustration of the great big love of God, right? Can't get your arms around it. And the vastness of the potential that He has for our church. If you think that the bar has been raised, you ain't seen nothing yet. And Paul here is setting the bar higher. He says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. That's who he's praying to. That's who he's worshiping. And ultimately, that's where our prayers have to aim, to the highest point, to the point of worship. And here's a great way to worship God in your prayers. Ask Him for bigger and better things, because I assure you, He's a big God with a great big love for us. And however high we set the bar, He can jump over it. He can clear it. Brothers and sisters, God will get the praise He deserves. That is a promise. That is a fact. But look in verse 21 at how He's decided to do it. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. That's how He does it. In the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Church, let's stay in Christ Jesus. And I trust that God will get much glory from us. Let's pray. Lord, I know that we think we've matured to a certain point, that we've gone a certain distance with you. I'm sure we've barely begun. This church, by many standards, is a rather old church. But maybe we're still in our infancy. We simply can't imagine what you have in store and what you can do for us and through us. We only pray that all that we do will be done for you and done in love, as we ask in the name of Jesus, who loved us and died for us. Amen.